Before you take your Bible, turn to the book of Mark, please. And if you'd find chapter number 9, book of Mark chapter 9, I would like to dedicate this message to all of our Sunday school teachers who have been so concerned about those young people in their classes that they fear do not get it. I'd also like to dedicate it to every individual in this room who has a tremendous longing to see a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, come to know Christ as their Savior. I believe what we're going to look at here today has some tremendous importance to you and to me. And so if you'll give me your ear, give God your heart, allow Him to speak to you today, I think we can walk from this place a different individual. If we get in chapter number 9, I'd like to go to verse number 14, the book of Mark, chapter number 9, and go with me to verse number 14. Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He has come down. And notice verse 14, when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth away with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this morning. We have the privilege, the opportunity to enter into this house, to be with these people, and to be able to read from this book, your Bible. Now, our Father, we know today that our words are empty, that if we have not the Spirit of God moving through them, we know today that minds and hearts will not be changed if it be not for the Spirit of God who enlivens the Word of God and pricks the heart. And that is our desire today. Sweet Holy Spirit of God, as You moved upon the waters in the day of creation, move upon us today. Stir us, work in us. May You be glorified, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When Jesus came down off the mount of what we call Transfiguration, where He was glorified before three of His disciples, He came to the other nine, and we find that they are in a very powerless situation. Previously, we find in the book of Mark, as a matter of fact, in chapter 6 and verse 7, that Jesus Christ had commanded the disciples that they might have power over the demons. However, here we find a situation where they did not have that power. In that chapter, He said He began to send them forth two by two, and He gave them power over unclean spirits. We find that as we read on in that chapter, that they came out, they cast out many devils. And we find it says they anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. God had given them great victory. But while Jesus is up there on that mount, these nine have a situation placed before them that they are utterly powerless with. They cannot accomplish what needs to be done. And they are confronted here by one that could not even tell them what was wrong. For we find that the Bible says that he had a dumb spirit. Now, that does not mean stupid. It means that his mouth was dumb. In other words, he could not speak anything. His voice was not that which was workable. We find later the Lord Jesus Christ, as he rebukes that dumb spirit, he also speaks of a deaf spirit, which we will speak of at a later moment. Jesus tells them in this situation that faith will call into existence that which does not exist. Notice verse 23. Jesus said unto him, when this man asking to help them, this father comes to him pleading, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we as Christians say we believe the Bible, but I sometimes wonder, do we really? For God says all things are possible to him that believeth. We find in verse number 24 that this man had a tremendous prayer. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How many times have I cried out to God with that same prayer? And then we find, before the crowd gets completely together, the Lord Jesus Christ takes this young man and he rebukes the foul spirit. And in verse 25, he says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And of course, we find the spirit must obey the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gets away with those disciples, and after seeing what had taken place, they ask this question, and I think we ought to ask ourselves the same question. Why could we not cast him out? Why could we not cast him out? Interesting. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 17, you find the same account given. In that account, we find the Lord Jesus gives two answers. The first answer, he says, is their unbelief. And allow me to read verse 20 from that chapter. It says, Jesus said unto them, after they'd asked this question, he says, because of your unbelief. He goes on to say this, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And so he first of all says to them, it is your unbelief. But then we find that there is another part to that answer, which we find in verse number 25. And in this verse, very important verse, he says, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. He said the only way this kind is going to come forth is by our prayer and our fasting. I want us to notice a few things about this. In verse 28, they ask the question, why could not we? It is we. Why could not we? Why could we not, as a group, why could this not happen? And Jesus says to this group of people now, he says, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want you to notice something else. In that verse, verse 29, he begins his sentence by saying, this kind. Previously, they had cast out demons. Previously, they had healed people. But this time, they couldn't. And Jesus says, this kind. Evidently, this kind is a more difficult case. Evidently, this kind is some that is more difficult to find taking place. God's wondrous power. What I find in this is God, I believe, trying to teach us that there must be an intensity in corporate prayer. When I say corporate prayer, not by ourselves, but as we come together, there must be an intensity in our prayer that will take us, yea, even from the dinner hour, that we might get a hold of God in the matter of people who need some things taking place in their life. There are some folks that the ordinary means is not going to work. There are some folks you have prayed for and you've spoken to, and yet they're without Christ. And they need something, I believe, of this kind. And it is by prayer and fasting that these kinds, I believe, can come forth. It is a meeting with God that is interrupted by nothing. I mean, mealtime, we're not going to go to it until we come to what we believe is the answer that sweeps over our soul. I have been in those prayer meetings. Oh my goodness, I tell you, when you get in prayer time and you're with a group of folks and you pray and you pray and you pray until everyone in that room recognizes and realizes and has submitted in their heart, God is going to do something. What a marvelous, marvelous place that is at. And that's what God wants to find out, if we're willing to starve ourselves, that we might starve out the devil until God gives the wondrous answer. It is of utmost importance we understand this kind that needs to come forth, that needs to go out. And I want us to notice what He's referring to. Back in verse 25, what came out was the dumb and the deaf spirit. I want us to think about that for a few moments. This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. What kind, Jesus? What kind are we referring to? He says, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." I believe that there is a spirit of deafness that pervades upon the peoples of our country. I believe there's a spirit of deafness that has gripped the hearts and the ears of literally thousands of our young people. There are vast numbers of our peoples who do not hear the voice of God calling unto them. You can speak to them. You can talk to them. You can open the Word of God. But God's voice does not penetrate their soul. This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. I believe that in this world of ours, there are so many who do not hear because the noise of this world has robbed them of the ability to hear the simplest of sounds. I sat in my basement the other night. I was reading a book and my dog was laying across the way on the little pad. And all of a sudden, woof! I'll tell you what, I believe in jet propulsion. Because I came up out of that seat. And I thought, what is she barking at? And all of a sudden I heard this noise. And as I heard the noise, there was another woof! And it was somebody going down the street. It's wintertime. My doors are shut. My windows are shut. I'm in the basement of my house. And I'm hearing through the walls of their car and through the walls of my house their radio. And it is a portrayal of what is taking place in the lives of people as the sounds of this world have deafened us to God. And we have not the ability to hear. I heard a rather famous person who had gotten saved say one night, and he made this comment. He said, "Wherever I went, I would get in my car and I would turn on the music and turn it up full blast because I was alone in my car and I didn't want to be alone with my thoughts." Many are fearful of silence, for they're fearful of what their thoughts will bring them, thoughts of emptiness. And so they fill their ears with noise until they cannot hear God. Maybe that's why God said, be still and know that I am God. How are we, as God's people, how we need to recognize that our voices simply cannot be heard by some men, but God wants to hear our voice. Though men may not, and though they may turn us off, my Bible still says this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Do you believe God's book? Do you believe what God says? Are we willing as God's people, when certain individuals that we're so concerned about, to get together with some others and to pray and to pray and to pray until God gives the answer? I believe that's the need of the hour. And that's why I dedicate it to our teachers. That's why I dedicate this message to those who want to see somebody saved. Listen, it can happen. God can move. God can work. If we really want to reach those that don't seem to get it, we need to band together in fervent corporate prayer. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There's a spirit of deafness. There's a spirit of dumbness. There's a spirit that's upon many who hear the Word of God and God actually speaks to them. But because of the pride of their heart, because of what lies inside, they fear to speak out to God and say, God, forgive me, a sinner that's condemned and unclean and in need of You. And they do not cry out to God. I'm so thankful today for Romans 10:13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 44 years ago today, that changed my life literally. It changed it from a life destined to hell to a life destined to heaven. It changed my life that was miserable to one that was peaceful and loving and joyous. God changed it all for me on that day. Because I called upon the name of the Lord. But again, brethren, if we really mean business in getting some folks saved, we must be willing to give up our time, our leisure, come together for some intense prayer, and stay until we know that God answers. Last night we gathered for prayer. I don't know how the other members that were here felt, but we're asking that God might rain down upon us the power of the Spirit of God in our service. That as we come together, we might recognize the wondrous presence of an almighty, holy God. And there was a point during that time that God spoke to my heart and said, it's answered. While a teenager was praying and praying for a family and thanking God for her mother leading her in the right direction. What a thing to have is that wondrous understanding that God has answered our prayer. This kind can come forth by nothing. Are you reading it? But by prayer and fasting. We have been so influenced in this hyper-Calvinistic crowd that believes that reaching out to soul is all of God's business. Hey, it's our business and God wants us to talk to Him about it. He wants us to unite with Him about it. He wants us to come to that spot where we have as much desire for Him to get saved as Jesus Christ. I don't know if that can ever happen, but God wants us to have that in our soul. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I don't know why, but God made this matter of people getting saved our business. It's called the Great Commission, where He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not some, not to the so-called elect. He said to all.
He said that He is desirous that all men might be saved. And we need to be serious with our God. Why could not we cast Him out? We need to ask ourselves, why are we so powerless? Why do so many turn us off and walk the other direction? Why does it happen in our lives? The answer is in verse 29. This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. It is prayer that as we gather together, that stays until the answer comes. How many realize in the book of Acts, sometimes the prayer meetings were really long? Do we realize that Jesus Christ said that after He left, there would need to be times of fasting where you would pray and you would pray and meals would not be important? But the intensity of reaching out to God is. That is the need of our hour. Listen. For years I preached, the greatest thing we can do is to win souls to Christ. The greatest thing to do is get near to God, and He can use us to win souls to Christ. And we just seek Him, because too often we do it all in the flesh, and we need to allow God to work and to move in lives. The only way any of these kids' lives are going to be touched and changed is when God speaks to the heart. Any way any of you adults are going to have your lives changed is when God speaks to your heart. Mary, who stood in front of you this morning and tried to sing, but was overcome in her emotion because of the love of God that she experienced. Some of you do not know this, but for well over 10 years, maybe it was 15 years ago, or 15 years, she taught Sunday school in this church. Had a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. But it was not real. And God got a hold of her heart. We were at camp. She said, I've never, ever heard a message like that in my life. Brother Clyde Spain was preaching on hell. 2 years before that, she heard the same message. What was the difference? This time, the Spirit of God opened that heart. That's the difference. And that's what God wants to do in lives. But He wants us to get so involved with it that we're willing to seek that and pray and miss some meals if necessary to see God bring it about. Do you believe the book today? That's an important verse. We leave it out of our lives far too often. This kind. What kind? Deaf spirit, dumb spirit. Can't hear God, can't speak to God. But it can come forth by prayer and fasting. Let me ask you, Christian, are you willing to invest your life in that? For that one you thought of earlier, for that kid in your class, that loved one, that neighbor, that relative, that work associate, are you willing to grab another Christian or two by the arm and say, will you enter into me with this thing? Until we see God speak so evidently in our hearts that we know He's going to do it. And by the way, when He does give us that, we know He's going to do it. Now, God can't make people get saved. But I'll tell you what.
I believe God can change hearts so dramatically that they will. And we can seek Him. He won't force them. But I believe the Spirit of God, Vicki, I believe the Spirit of God's tougher than anybody. I believe that. Father, today work in our hearts. Lord, there are people about us that we say we're concerned about, but often we're not willing to really come to You as we should in this matter. You've made it very clear to us this kind is not going to come forth by any other means but by prayer and fasting. Lord, I pray that You would place that kind of desire of intensity in our hearts. Lord God, that we might recognize what the devil and these demons are doing to destroy literally thousands of souls. He's got them so caught up and gripped in His arms that, God, we believe You can free them. We believe You can do that. Lord, no doubt there's somebody in this room this morning that needs that liberty from their sin. It has gripped them and held them tight and destroying them. And God, today, we know if they come to You and cry out to You, that You'll save them from that sin. God, I pray for that individual. I pray for Your people. God, that we might not play church, play Christianity, but get real in this thing. Work in our hearts. Bless in this time of invitation. Lord, You lay upon our hearts what needs to be done in our lives. For I pray in Christ's name, amen. I'd like for us to stand on our feet, please.